All right, let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. First book in the book, Bible. Genesis chapter 12. We have been talking about the blood covenant and what that means to the believer today and how we connect the blood covenant of the Old Testament and the blood covenant of the New Testament. How do we bring that together and see what God's doing in each one of our life? And so this morning, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm really only going to talk about verse 1, so we'll get the other ones maybe next week. But verse 1 starts out and it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram," now this is before his name was changed to Abraham. So Abram, "the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word and, Father, to learn from your word. And, Father, I pray that you'd give us hearts to receive and hear the word today. Lord, that we might grow in our understanding of our covenant with you. And, Lord, we thank you for this and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, in the New Testament, it says, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Verse 24, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Now, in the Old Testament, we have God telling Abraham to get up and leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. In the New Testament, Jesus says, you need to deny yourself. Now, the connection here is when God's telling Abraham to leave all of this stuff behind, it's not because he didn't want him to have a country, didn't want him to have a family, didn't want him to be in his father's house. It wasn't any of that. It was he was calling him from something that he found comfort and strength and encouragement from, acceptance, authority, all this stuff in the old life. Now he's calling him out to something better. Jesus isn't against us having things in the New Testament when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's not because he doesn't want us to have something. He's calling us to leave something so we can move on to something even better. Because if you know much about the family or the story of Abram and or Abraham, however you want to look at it, I'll probably interchange those words or those names as we go through this morning. But as if you know much about that, Abram left all that he had, and then he became so wealthy. He became so rich that kings were afraid of him. I mean, now, that's kind of moving up in the world, isn't it? Remember that song, Moving On Up to the East Side? Okay, so he was moving up in his status because he followed God's command. Now, the promise has always been in blood covenant for God to have a people and for God's people to have a place. In the Old Testament, the people were the children of Israel. And it was not because the children of Israel were this some great nation. It's because they were small, and that Abraham would teach his people, his children, about God. I mean, there was reasons why God did what he did. It wasn't because he was this great nation to start with. It was because he knew Abraham would teach his children. And then God wanted him to have a place. And if we go over to chapter 15, I love this first verse. 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. Now, this is God's word to Abram or Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Now, how would you like to have God tell you, I am your protection, I am your shield? Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing to know that the blessings of Abraham, part of that is God is our shield and our exceeding great reward. Then he goes on. Verse 5. He says, then he brought him outside and said to him, look towards the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So he says, I'm calling you out and giving you a people. You will be my people. Now, at the time, it was just Abram. It was just him, all by himself. But he believed God so much that in verse 6, it says, and he believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, Abram believed the promise of the Lord so much that he did not waver to the right or to the left. He did not question what God said. He believed God was able to do what he said he would do. Now, Abram had to leave his family, his country, that which was familiar. Okay? That which was familiar. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. He had to let go so he could go in. You remember the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and they were whining? None of us ever do that, but they did. They were whining about, oh, we've got manna again. We've got this again. We don't have this. It is so miserable out here. I wish you would have just left us in Egypt to be slaves. You've got to let go so you can go in. The first group of Israelites that came out of Egypt could not let go of Egypt to the point where they wished they would have been back there, because all Moses was going to do was lead us into the desert to die. We're all going to die out here. We can't go and conquer this land. We can't go and take this land. We can't go and do this. There's giants out here. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. And they came up with all kinds of excuses why they couldn't go in and take the land. You've got to let go. Well, I can't do that. You don't know what my background's like. I've never been able to talk in front of people. I can't communicate. I can't even tell people a thought. I just get so confused. I get so scared. I can't. You never will until you let go of that old man. You never will until you learn to let go so you can go in. God wants you to go in. God wants you to go in and find a place. He wants you to go in. He said, told Abram, he says, now leave your family. Leave those people that you find acceptance with. Leave those people that you find favor with. Leave those people that are giving you all of this right now. Because I've got something better for you. He says, leave your father's household. Leave that which gives you security. Leave that which gives you wealth. Leave that which gives you position. Because I've got this for you. How many know God's plan for our life is so much greater than what we could ever come up with? So much greater than what we could come up with. But yet we always want to do it our way, seemingly. We think, oh, I've got a good way to do this. I can do this. Well, yeah, you probably can, but you know what? God's got a better way. And we've got to let go of the old way and go into the new. Everything Abraham had to give up brought value to his life. But when he was willing to give all that up and go to a land that God would show him, he didn't even tell him where he was going. He just says, I'll show you where to go. Just trust me. How many like going on trips like that? Well, we're just out here going on a vacation. Where are you going? I don't know, but we'll know when we get there. Is that the way you guys go on vacation, anybody? Some of you, the single guys. You see, that's what God said. He says, come on, get up, let's go, and I'll show you where we're going. And when Abraham let go of what he had, God gave him more than he could ever imagine. God gave him more wealth, more prosperity, more value in the eyes of the people around him. I mean, the kings feared him. The king came to him one time and said, you just need to leave. You're too powerful for us. Don't even live around us. Because you could turn on us. I mean, this was, I don't think we understand how powerful God made Abraham. And yet these promises are for us today. We had a people and a place in the Old Testament, and we have a people and a place in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was Israel and the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. In the New Testament, we have a people, God's people, the church. And you can argue with yourself all you want about who the church is, but I'm going to show you who the church is. We got the church, and we've got the destination, a place. It's called heaven. John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you, and then we're going to be there together. So in the new covenant, we've got a people and we've got a place. And so in the Old Testament, Abram believed God, which is the word believe. He believed, he had faith in God, that God was able to do what he said he would do. Go over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Start out in verse 5, and it says, but to him who does not work, but believes, that's what Abram did. He believed on him who justifies the ungodly. His faith, his belief, is accounted to him for righteousness. Over in Genesis, we read the scripture that says, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him as righteousness. In the New Testament, when we believe, we are made righteous. Now jump over to verse 19, chapter 4 in Romans. It says, and not being weak in faith, in believing, he did not consider his own body. Now this is talking about Abraham, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise. How many know what it means to waver? Okay? Well, I think I'm saved. No, you need to know you're saved. And if you're still thinking, well, I don't know, I didn't have much of a week. Well, if you're still wavering, then you're doubting. Abraham did not doubt. He did not waver in his belief towards the promises of God. says he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God because God was able to do what he said he would do. Verse 21, and being fully convinced. How many are fully convinced that my music stand right here is dark blue? Anybody convinced of that? Could I talk you into that? Why? Because you're fully convinced it's what color? Black. You're fully convinced. But somebody could come along, apparently not me, and convince you this was some other color. How many know there's more than one color of black? Black is black, right? It's black. There's a brown black. Okay. So, most of us in here are fully convinced this is black. How many have ever had your kids ask you why the sky is blue? And did you tell them it's not, it's green? And they look at you and go, Dad, that's not true. Why? Because they're already fully convinced what color it is. You cannot change their mind. Because they, in kindergarten, had that crayon box that had all those colors in it that told them what color. What if Crayola Crayon used the wrong printer and put the wrong color name on there? Then all these kids would grow up thinking brown is green or yellow is orange. I mean, we would just be in chaos, right? But we're not. We're fully convinced that somehow Crayola Crayon figured out what color those colors are. And they put the right one on the label, right? Anybody go to a different kindergarten than I did? Maybe you have a different idea what color things are. Okay, so most of us are fully convinced of something. Abraham was fully convinced that even though at 75 he received this promise that he was going to have a son. And from that son, he was going to have many sons. His descendants would be as the stars in the sky, as the sand beneath your feet. He was fully convinced. He didn't need an ultrasound when Sarah got pregnant to find out what the baby's gender was. He didn't need a reveal party to blow up a blue balloon and have powder go all over him and find out it's going to be a boy. Because he's fully convinced, because God said it, he's going to have a son. And God even told him his name. He was fully convinced. See, you and I need to be fully convinced of what God has said about us. What God has said in the new covenant about us. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, go over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Didn't we read that back in Genesis 15? Romans 4? Okay, this is kind of a theme all the way through the scriptures. Believe God and God will account that you righteous. Believe God. Believe his promises, and he will account you righteous. Now, this is an amazing chapter. I don't have time to go through all of this because it would just take me way too long. So we're going to stop. We're going to jump over to verse 25. And it says, but after faith has come, okay, in this whole thing, he's talking about the difference between Abraham's promises and the promises that come by faith versus the law through Moses. And so he says, okay, so, but after faith has come, there is no longer, or we are no longer under a tutor, or the correlation he's using here is we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the law to keep us within the boundaries of where we're supposed to be. That's what the tutor did. That's what the law did. And he says in verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You are in Christ. Through our salvation, we are now in Christ. This is not hard to figure out. When we come to Christ, we make Jesus Lord of our life. Now we are in Christ by faith. We are in Christ. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. All right? We partake of the blessing of Abraham because we are Abraham's seed by faith. Not because of my history, not because of my name, not because of my family, but because I'm in Christ by faith. I am Abraham's seed. And so therefore, I partake of Abraham's blessings. Because if you go back over, he says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. By faith, I am in Christ Jesus through my salvation. And because of that, the blessings of Abraham are on us. So I walk in the blessings of Abraham. Jesus is calling us to something great. Now let me back up just a little bit, okay? Now, I realize a lot of times when we talk about these things, we talk about the blessings, we talk about the good stuff on that end. But it all comes by letting go so we can go in. Laying down what we used to be so we can go in to what God has made us to be. See, yes, I was talking to somebody this week and we were talking about salvation, and yes, the Bible says when the jailer came into Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Yes, that is true. Absolutely true. But that does not negate all the other verses that tell you to leave that old life behind and go on to something that God has for you. Something even greater. Yes, we're leaving the old life behind, but we're moving forward to something new. Now it tells us, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Don't try to hold on. Let go. And it might feel like you're falling, but God's got something good for you. But Paul also says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, let's put this in context, okay? These people were not coming out to get saved. Because if we go back to verse 14, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness? Who's righteous? Those who are of faith. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So he's comparing your new life and your old life. He goes on and he says, what communion has light with darkness? Who did Jesus say was the light? You. You are the light of the world. A candle isn't supposed to be hidden, but set up so everybody can see. You are the light of the world. So, verse 15 says, what accord has Christ with Belial, or the devil? Christ, what does Christ mean? The anointed. Christ is not Jesus' last name. All right? It means anointed, the anointed one. So he says, what accord has the anointed one? Who is Christ anointed? The church. The believer. What accord has the anointing with Belial? Or what part has the believer with the unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols, or the temple of idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Okay, he's already talking to people who were born again. And now he's telling these born again people in verse 17, therefore, because of this, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Because of who you are. They did not come out to get saved. They were saved, and because they're saved, Paul says, now come out. Stop acting like the rest of the world. Stop acting like everybody else. That's not you anymore. But I like the way they do that. Doesn't matter what you like. I was going over this and I was thinking, how many players on football, baseball, I don't care what team you want to go, and they trade these players around. And they trade them around and they have to learn a new system to play on the new team. They might like the colors of the old jersey, but you are not on that team anymore. You are not on that team anymore. You are on a new team, and this new team wears this jersey and acts like this. You don't do that anymore. Yes, on the old team, you did this. Not here. That's what Paul's saying. He says, you don't have any fellowship. That's not who you are. Yeah, maybe you did like that old system, that old jersey, or that old helmet, or whatever it was. But that's not who you are anymore. You are now a child of the living God. So I don't come out to get saved, but I come out because I am saved. Does that make sense? I don't come out to get saved. It's not about works. Well, I don't chew and I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't go with those who do. That's not how you get saved. You get saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we're saved by faith and grace, then we come out because we are saved. We don't do those things anymore. I don't have to go out and do that. I don't need to associate with that to find out who I am. I'm already. So, as we are growing in our understanding, we begin to see that we are a new people and God has a place for us. And ultimately that place is in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have a place. We have a promise. And the only way I can receive that promise is by faith. The only way I can receive that promise of entering in to the place is by faith. But while we're still on this earth, until Jesus comes and takes us to that place, he's given us a place here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And let me add to that, by faith. By faith. That's how we sit together in heavenly places. By faith, I have the authority. By faith, I have what Jesus said I have. By faith, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. By faith, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. By faith, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. By faith, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. By faith, I walk in a new covenant. Not in the old covenant, but a new covenant. I need to read this to you. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, I think we've misinterpreted it and misquoted this so many times that we missed the power of it. And it says, he has delivered us, and many times we will say, and maybe some translations say this, from the kingdom of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. But what does it say? He has delivered us from, say it, the power of darkness. We have been freed from the power of darkness. I don't care how many people say the devil made me do it. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. You have been set free from that power so you can enter in to the new kingdom. The children of Israel were delivered from the power of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea, went through a type of baptism. God delivered them, set them free, so they could go in. But they couldn't do it by faith. And they ended up dying in the wilderness. The the question I guess that we have to answer today is, am I going to do it by faith? Am I going to serve God by faith? Because he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or moved us to the kingdom of his dear son, which a new kingdom has a new authority, a new power, a new uniform, if you want to say it that way. We look different. We're not the same people we used to be. We don't associate with the old kingdom. Now, I'm not saying you don't associate with unbelievers. I'm just saying we don't associate with the kingdom. We don't come under the rule of that kingdom because we've been delivered from that darkness, that dark power, and translated into the new kingdom with a new power, which is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's where we are. We're seated with Christ in all his power and authority. Might and dominion has been given to us by faith. Now, so many times we talk about that good stuff and we think, oh, it's just going to happen. No, you've got to stop doing this other stuff so we can move into this new stuff. Yes, you've been delivered from the power of darkness, but how many know habits are hard to break? Just because you've always done it that way does not mean it's the right way to do it. God delivered us from that so we can leave that behind, and now we're a new creation in Christ. So, this morning as we wrap this up, the connection between the old covenant and the new covenant is that we are, the church is the people. Now, listen, this is not replacement theology. Okay, we're not replacing the children of Israel. We're going back to Abraham by faith. By faith, we are the seeds of Abraham. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we have been saved. That's the people. That's the church. And you know what? It doesn't matter what labels over the door. If you're in faith, you're a child of Abraham. That's the church. And because we are in the church by faith in Christ, we receive the blessings of Abraham. And we'll get into that next week as we see, as we... Again, I said I was going to take one verse, and that's what I did. So next week we'll get into two more. This is moving fast, isn't it? Let's stand as we close.